This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Hey, moms and dads, if you happen to be listening right now with your little kiddos, can I suggest that maybe you go do something else for about 10 minutes and then join us back here? Because we're going to talk to Santa about some stuff that, you know, maybe the little ones need to still be surprised by. I'm going to give you a second. Okay, now we're back. Do you know that these days it seems that you can go to school for just about anything? Even Santa school. Now, in Santa school, it's not all about the reindeer and practicing your ho, ho, ho. It can be a really intense process to become the best Santa that you can become. And Santa Johnny, he would know because he's gone through Santa school. And he has been kind enough to join us in studio live in the midst of all things Christmas going
That's
on this
right.
time of year.
That's right. It's a wonderful time of year.
So first off, I just want to know, how did you decide you wanted to be Santa?
Well, as a youngster in the 40s, my first movie about Christmas I noticed was Miracle on 34th Street. And that kind of caught my interest. That was a brilliant show.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I wanted to be something like Santa Claus, where he would be friendly and giving and compassionate and all that sort of kind of stuck in my mind for a long time. And then the opportunity presented itself in high school to get in some acting classes and be able to experiment with myself and different personalities. And from there, I grew to join the Army during Vietnam. And there was an opportunity for the chaplain's office to do Santa on post for spouses and children who were not overseas with their loved one. So I started there.
And from there, how did it evolve then?
It evolved as I researched Santa schools. In the beginning, back in the early days, I could only find a Santa at like the Sears store. There were no malls back then, but there were shopping centers. I would watch them and listen to them and decided that, you know, that's something I think I can work on and do a pretty good job. So I looked in libraries and various places. We didn't have the web way back then. Find out the sources for reading on Santa and good things. So it kind of took me in the right direction.
So then you come upon basically a Santa school. So
yes.
So tell me about that, because you went to University of Santa?
Yes, USC.
Who knew? See, you went to the real USC, right? University of Santa.
Well, the one at the North Pole.
Oh, of course.
Actually, USC, the University of Santa Claus, travels around the country. If they get enough students within one city, at least 20 students, Santa Tim Conahay, who runs a very nice school, will meet with those people in that community and have anywhere from a 2-day to a 5-day course. And it also could include Mrs. Claus type work, too, and elves. So they're welcome to do the courses as well.
So talk to us about what you learn in Santa school.
Oh, my gosh. There's a whole itinerary of subjects. It's not just actually, we started with the history of Santa Claus. It's good. Find out about that. Nicholas, there's the name.
St. Nick.
Yep, St. Nick. And that started back in what is now Turkey, and that's many, many years ago. And we learned all about his history and his giving. And then from there, it developed around the world. Here in the U.S., we kind of got our own little Santa Claus culture going as well. And we look at the origins of Santa along with Nick and starting a basic business with it, talking to the children. That's important. We got to think like a child as well. And those that don't believe, we need to come up with some counter stories so they can mm-hmm. become believers just like all of us. The image of Santa is very important. Let's see.
Well, let's go back to St. Nick, because mm-hmm. in my family, like growing up, we always celebrated St. Nick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your shoe out on the evening of December 5th, and then St. Nick comes overnight. And if your shoe is out, you get a present. And this was, and I still practice this with my kids.
Good.
So, but this is part of St. Nicholas. And a lot of people may not know that origin story of kind of really how Christmas stockings came about.
Well, I know the radio, we can't really show that, but I'll let you know that this one thing that hangs up in my office. This is the original St. Nick, according to sketches and history and that sort of thing. But his birthday, you can see there, is March of
2070.
Yeah. And he passed on in the 6th of December in 1943. And the story goes that he was left alone. His parents had passed away. And he wanted to do something really nice for some members in the church. And so he had some money to give, and he made arrangements to share that with the father of these young ladies who wanted to get married. It's a bit like a dowry, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the story evolved and started from there. And then he became a saint in later years. And we just developed a lot of those same giving habits and loving habits to today's Santa Claus.
So then you talk about, you know, so you start from there. So then how kind of the culture of Santa evolved here in the United States, because we call Santa in the United States Santa Claus.
Right.
You go over to the UK and he's Father Christmas.
That is correct. Yes.
So do you learn the reasons why the names are even different?
Well, that's pretty much country to country,
okay,
as we know. In Europe, there are several names for Santa Claus. Our image of Santa really was developed quite around the 30s, pretty much. Coca-Cola had a lot to do with the development of Santa's visual image.
Really?
Even today, we have the Coca-Cola-style Santa suit, which is the one with buttons down the middle.
I never thought of that.
And then the other Santa suit that's very popular is the white fur down the center, and that's called the traditional Santa suit. And those are the two most popular ones that Santas that want to get in the business can buy. Of course, there are people that make custom Santa suits, and mm-hmm. they run way up there, but they are beautifully designed. Santa can get into a Santa suit for $100 or so, but most of us professionals, we spend at least $600 plus on the starter, and then we go up to $2,000 on customs.
You're in this.
Well, we love it.
You are dedicated.
Absolutely.
I'm talking with Santa Johnny about his experience being Santa. So you mentioned something about thinking like a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing so much more. I mean, I think with social media, you see, you know, someone will post a picture of, especially this time of year, of like a Santa with maybe a child with a disability. Or
yes.
I believe a couple of years ago, you know, at the Boise Town Square Mall, there was that picture that went viral of Santa sleeping with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk to us about, you know, really having to truly interact with who these children are. It's not just like, come sit on my lap and tell me what you want
for
Christmas, kid.
No, it isn't. At our Santa gatherings for the chapter of the Idaho Real Bearded Santas, we meet four times a year off Christmas season, and we discuss different things that we can use in our training. One of them is we like to work with the challenged children to find out more about that. So we'll have speakers into our group letting us know more about how things would work well there. We also have offered sign language courses for Santas, and not all of our Santas have picked up on that yet. And then we have some information that we can learn some language too, for speaking in Spanish in certain areas. And so it's an ongoing education with a lot to learn. Just learn more about people, yeah.
And how do the children react to that? I mean, I can only imagine if you are a child that has maybe immigrated here,
mm-hmm.
and you're learning English, and then all of a sudden you go see Santa and Santa?
It's a real treat, and we all like to strive toward that and developing our skills. So it's an ongoing process that we have just a blast with. It's great. This is my time of year. I'm retired now. I'm in my 70s. And then my only work that I have to do outside my home is in November, December. We start about the middle of November with working with photographers mm-hmm. for Christmas cards and things like that.
So how at Santa school do they ever talk about, and really moms and dads, this is going to get kind of deep, so about Santa. So if you are listening with the little kids, turn the radio off for a minute. because how at Santa school do they talk to you about kids that don't believe anymore? And but they still sometimes go and see Santa.
Well, I think our performance, our dress, our manner, all that will turn some children around. Maybe, you know, there could be something to this.
Right.
And throughout their lives, hopefully every year, no matter if they're 7 or 70, that every Christmas comes around, it's going to feel warmer and nicer. People are better. So, you know, it's something that's contagious, I think.
What is the funniest or craziest thing that's happened to you as Santa?
Oh, my gosh. Well, a lot of small stories. I mean, mm-hmm. what children want is an example. I have extremes. The ones that warm my heart the most is when they want their family to have a better time or to be closer. The ones that are tougher to help accommodate or at least give a child a little promise on is they want their mom with them and their mom has passed away. Or they want their dad and their dad's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So these are ones where we have to be very easy to work with them on that. Some have requested things that just aren't realistic. And then we'll talk to them about Santa's budget. Oh, my goodness. I have millions of children to take care of. And if we gave a lot of extra things to certain children, there would be other children in the world that wouldn't have a Christmas.
And as a parent, we so appreciate Santa mm-hmm. having a budget.
Absolutely.
I mean, it makes all the difference in the world.
It does, very much. Yes, yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of interesting things we kind of work at as we go along, but we want to keep them in the spirit.
And speaking of the spirit, people can still come and visit you.
Yes.
So you have one more appearance this Saturday at D. Evans Bank in downtown Boise.
Ninth and Main. Mm-hmm.
At Ninth and Main. And this is a free event because sometimes you have to pay to see Santa or get the picture. But this is something the Downtown Boise Association does every year.
Yes. I've been with them for many years. And I even this year, I've given my contribution as well. So I would encourage the families to bring their children down or grandchildren and meet with me and get some pictures. If you choose to donate something, that'd be fine.
And if they do donate, it actually goes to the Women and Children's Alliance.
That's right.
So we should make that very clear.
Absolutely.
So when will you be there on Saturday?
This Saturday is our final Saturday before Christmas, and I'm there at D.L. Evans Bank, 9th and Main, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Then flying back up to the North Pole?
Well, I have a couple other
events
to do
before
in the
then?
Valley here, yeah. And then I head up. There's only 6 days left, so there's still some work to do.
There's a lot of work to do.
That's right.
A lot of packages to deliver on Christmas
Absolutely.
Eve.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Santa, for coming in today.
It's been my pleasure.
We've been speaking with Santa Johnny. If you would like to go get a visit, he will be at D. Evans Bank in downtown Boise this Saturday. I want to thank you again for coming in.
You're very welcome.
It's not every day.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
It's and not looking ahead to that 2020.
It's not every day you get to have a conversation with Santa. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.